Godzilla is now in New York City.
Monster 01 and 02, commence the attack.
Dylan,
how come you always single me out at the beginning of the episodes? Why don't we single out Andrew?
Heck, all right, hey, Andrew.
Oh, what?
How's it going?
Good.
Did you enjoy our movie this week?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and apologize to all our listeners. If this is coming out a little late, that's because we recorded it a little late.
That's my fault.
That's all Dylan's fault. Anyway, so yeah, here this week we are talking about Mothra versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
On Stomp This Way. My name is Aaron, and I'm joined by...
Andrew.
And I'm Dylan.
And like usual, we're going to start off with a little bit of history on this movie. I didn't really write down a whole lot, so shouldn't take us too long.
Well, guess what? You're fired.
Okay. I can only fire myself, really. And then we'll get into a trailer, probably the U.S. trailer, because I find that the audio for U.S. trailers is, you know, usually a little more entertaining. In the audio for especially these older Japanese trailers. Also, it's easier to find the U.S. trailers on YouTube, so that's what I do. Rip them off YouTube. Sue me. Don't sue me.
I'll sue you.
For what?
Copyright infringement.
It's not even your material. But anyway, so yeah, getting started. You know, we always start with alternate titles. Dylan, do you know what the U.S. title for this movie was?
Apparently, as you have written here on this fancy sheet of paper in front of me, it was Godzilla versus the Thing.
It was. Very interesting story about that that we'll talk a little bit about more later. That was a weird sentence.
What if I don't want to?
German title was Godzilla versus the Prehistoric Caterpillars. I personally love that title.
What?
The Prehistoric Caterpillars. And you made fun of me for calling them caterpillars. Last episode, but whatever.
Well, clearly they don't understand.
Spain, they got real creative in Spain. They called it Godzilla Against Monsters.
Okay, guys, new movie, Godzilla. All right. Mm-hmm. Against Monsters.
Against Monsters. I mean, it's an accurate title, I guess.
It's not wrong.
And then it's Italy. It was called Wantong and Fabulous Empire of Monsters, whatever that means. So, yeah.
It's not wrong.
not wrong, I guess. But yeah, original title, Japanese title, Mothra versus Godzilla. Again, Godzilla is not the top billed monster in this movie. It is Her Majesty Mothra. But we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But anyway, so the screenplay was submitted on the last day of 1963, December 31st, 1963, by Shinichi Sekizawa. And the original screenplay included a few major differences I thought were interesting. The character of Torahata was not included. Sekai had two sidekicks that worked with him at the news agency or whatever, including the character that would later evolve into Dr. Miura? I don't know exactly how to say that. Most importantly, instead of Mothra's eggs washing up, it was Godzilla's unconscious body that washed up on shore and was sold to Happy Enterprises. And Godzilla was going to play a much larger role in the movie. He was going to be like the central focus, and then Mothra was just kind of supposed to kind of show up at the end and fight him and beat him. Shinichi Sekizawa decided, or whoever, the producers or whatever, thought that it made more sense to have Mothra's egg wash up than Godzilla's body, so they changed it around. Also, if you remember, there was a fictional country called Rolisica. There was a fictional fictional country of Rolisica in the Mothra movie. It was supposed to have a cameo, or, you know, was supposed to be mentioned. They were going to be the country that, if you watch the American version of this film, there was a scene included where Godzilla was attacked by frontier missiles shot from American warships. Said scene was cut from the Japanese version, but was supposed to originally be the Rolisican government. But that was a cut from the Japanese version. And then when Columbia re-released it in the United States, they changed it to American warships that launched the missiles. So anyway, so if you watch the American version, you actually got an extra scene that's not including the Japanese edit included that involved Godzilla, actually directly involved Godzilla. So that's kind of interesting. But anyway, they fixed up the screenplay, started filming the movie. If you notice in this movie, one of the defining features of this Godzilla suit is that his upper lip kind of quivers, like it's not really glued well to the gums or whatever. But that was actually an accident in the scene where he kind of slips and slams his head into the Castle. Nagoya Castle. That wasn't really intended to happen like that, and it knocked the teeth loose of the Godzilla suit. But Tsuburaya actually liked the look of it, so they kept it. And then, obviously, like we kind of talked about earlier, it was released as Godzilla versus the Thing in the U.S. If you see like the old promotional material for the movie in the U.S., the U.S. distributors tried to hide the fact that the monster Godzilla was fighting was Mothra. So the poster was like Godzilla, and then it had, like, a giant question mark and, like, some kind of tentacled creature coming out from behind the question mark. And, like, the big thing was, like, what is the thing? And then you went and saw the movie and it was...
Oh, it's a giant moth.
It's a giant moth. It's Mothra. So, I don't know if audiences were a little disappointed by that or not. But anyway. Probably. And actually, there were three things, I guess. Mothra and her two offspring. But anyway. And that's about all I had. So, yeah. This movie came out in 1964. It was released on April 20th of 1964. It had a budget of what?
I said 420, baby.
No.
I'm kidding.
had a budget of 200 million yen. Made, it says here 2.66 billion yen.
Is that right?
I don't know if that's right or not.
Because 2.66 billion yen is the equivalent of about $24 million.
Yeah, USD. I'm thinking it was supposed to be like 260 million yen. But anyway, total attendance was 7,220,000 in terms of tickets sold, which is the fourth most attended Godzilla film and still the 43rd most attended Japanese film in Japanese cinema history. So, again, another big hit for the Godzilla franchise. So, I think that's about all I had as far as making of goes. So, we're going to go to the trailer and then we'll come back. I will read off the cast and crew, and then Dylan here is going to read off my nicely, professionally prepared plot synopsis. So, see you in just a bit.
Innocent as a gigantic egg, but its unseen powers are so great that its worshippers beg the Thing's indulgence in self-abasing ceremonies.
All right, we're back, And here is the cast and the crew.
Don't talk to me.
Sounds like a TV show. The cast and the crew.
Please don't talk to me.
This movie was directed by Ishiro Honda, if you didn't guess that, obviously.
Who's that?
Written by Shinichi Sekizawa.
Who's that guy?
No. Music by Akira Fukube.
Definitely not.
Effects by Eiji Tsuburaya.
Definitely have never heard of him.
All those important people. Starring Akira Takarada.
Who's that?
What?
Yuriko Hoshi. Hiroshi Kazumi. Yu Fujiki. The Peanuts as the Shobujin. Jun Tazaki and Kenji Sahara and Yoshifumi Tajima and Hiroo Nakajima as Godzilla.
There were probably some names definitely butchered in there.
There was a couple I kind of tripped over, yeah. But
Yoshifumi.
I thought they were all important to the plot, so I thought I would list their names in the crew or the cast. So,
anyways,
what has this plot got to do with?
All right, do you really want to know?
I really want to know. Okay. I mean, not like I couldn't recite every scene to you.
I mean, do you want me to tell you?
From memory, but yeah.
I can tell you. Sure you tell want
me.
To tell you?
Okay, tell me.
Here
tell
we
me.
Go.
Tell me.
When a giant egg mysteriously washes up on a Japanese beach, the locals sell the egg to Happy Enterprises, a giant corporation hell-bent on profits no matter the cost. Ento are the Shobujin, who come to Japan to request the egg be returned to the island. They first visit Torahata and Kumayama, the runners of Happy Enterprises, but are nearly captured by them. Then they plead their case to our heroes, comprised of news reporter Sakai, photographer Junko, and Professor Mira. Our heroes are unable to help the girls, so the twins return with Mothra to Infant Island. Soon after, Godzilla reappears and once again begins a path of destruction across Japan. With the JSDF powerless to stop the ancient dinosaur, our heroes go to Infant Island to beg for Mothra's help. After some debate, the Shobujin convince Mothra to help the people of Japan, but ominously forewarn that the fight will likely be the end of the aging Moth. Mothra flies to Japan and engages in battle with Godzilla, but is killed in the fight. With the last of her strength, she places a protective wing over her egg as Godzilla continues his rampage. Eventually, the egg hatches and the two Mothra larvae finish the fight against the King of Monsters, wrapping him in webbing and tossing him into the sea. With Godzilla dispatched, the two larvae return to Infant Island with the twin fairies as our heroes wave goodbye. That was well prepared. That was actually really well written.
That was pretty well written. I'm pretty proud of that one, not gonna lie. So yeah, so this movie, I'm not gonna be
garbage. I'm kidding. Sorry, that was rude.
Get the f*** out. not gonna beat around the bush. This is my favorite Godzilla movie.
You're gonna commit to that?
I'm gonna commit to it. Just edges out the original.
Are you gonna commit to that?
I love this movie.
Are you gonna commit to that?
With a deep, burning, passionate fire. But no, I really like this movie.
A burning Godzilla.
A burning radioactive fire. Okay, well,
actually, I had a kid walk in with a burning Godzilla toy the other day, and he left it.
Aw. Did you, like, chase him down and give it back to him?
No, I couldn't.
I'll take
find
it.
Him.
Where's it at?
It was a little bitty, and its tail was missing.
Oh, well, a little brat broke his tail off.
His tail was missing. It was, like, burning Godzilla from King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Like, it was clearly, like, the 2014 and Godzilla, but on fire.
On fire.
And I was like, hey, that's sick. And then I picked him up and I was like, oh,
his tail's
he's
gone.
Missing a tail. I was going to bring him home to you until I saw that his tail was missing. I was like, I forget it.
I will. It doesn't matter. Just chunk it in the trash. Anyway, so let's kind of walk through this plot here. So this movie starts off with a typhoon that goes through Japan, floods a bunch of stuff. And with it, it washes up Mothra's egg. And so these fishermen go out and get it. And then they sell it to Happy Enterprises. Kumiyama is some, like, reedy businessman. This movie is, you know, every Godzilla movie, almost every Godzilla movie has a very overt message. This one is anti-corporation, man. But, yeah, corporations, apparently, from what I've read, are, you know, they were a big problem in Japan at the time and kind of just, you know, kind of ran everything, including the government, apparently. So, yeah, that was a hot topic when this movie was made. But this movie also, when we see them later pumping out the water that the typhoon brought in, not only did it wash ashore Mothra's egg, it also washed ashore a certain temperamental radioactive lizard. And they drain all of his water away, and he comes up out of the ground.
A little pissy.
And he starts marching his way through Nagoya. But, you know, the first Godzilla does not show up until the 32-minute mark of this movie, of an 88-minute movie. So, you know, there's less than an hour to go when Godzilla shows up. But I think watching the first 30 minutes of this movie, it's almost easy to forget that you're watching a Godzilla movie, and you think you're just watching a sequel to Mothra or something. Because there really is no mention of Godzilla until he pops up out of the ground.
And you're like, oh, hey, mark. There's a Godzilla movie.
No, he's like, oh, there's Godzilla. You know, last week.
Oh, and you know it's Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Every time.
Every time.
Bomb.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
But, no, but, you know, last week, or a couple weeks ago, I guess now, we were talking about how was King Kong versus Godzilla, you know, a King Kong movie with Godzilla in it or a Godzilla movie with King Kong in it?
And
you
said definitely a Mothra movie with
Godzilla. Yeah, you said that you thought it was definitely a King Kong movie with Godzilla in it, and I thought it was pretty evenly split. But this one, yes, I definitely get the feeling it's a Mothra movie with Godzilla in it. And once again, Mothra is top billed. It is Mothra versus Godzilla, not Godzilla versus Mothra. Godzilla versus Mothra is a movie we'll watch in the 90s.
In the 90s? Are we going to go back in time and watch the movie? No.
Well, yes. I haven't told you about that part of my podcast yet.
Okay.
Well, we're a time-traveling podcast.
We have a time machine, guys. No.
But
we go back to the original year that the film was released in Japan.
But like the Mothra film, the first 30 minutes can be a little plotting, I guess. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I really like the scene where the Mothra twins go to Torahata and Kumiyama's room. And they're like, please return the egg. And
stop uttering things in that voice. I'm like, every time.
Every time they show up and start talking.
Stop uttering things in that voice.
No, but you said that, well, I mean, I said that, you know, I think this scene is pretty creative. You know, they chase him around. They try to, like, bag him. But, you know, they get out of the bag and they're, like, running away. But I think it's a fun little scene. And then they get away and then they go outside into the forest where our heroes happen to be hanging around. I did wonder watching this movie, Dr. Mura, like, he is in every shot of this movie. Once he meets the main other two main characters with them, like, why is he always hanging out with them? He's not a news reporter. I mean, I understand why Sakai and Junko are hanging out because, you know, he's a reporter and she's his photographer, obviously. Yeah. But he's just a scientist they met, and he's all of a sudden hanging out with them like 24/7. It's a little weird, but I'll look over that.
Might as well.
They have a shared goal of saving this egg. But anyway, you know, all this drama happens. The twin fairies figure out, okay, well, this isn't going to work. So they go back to the island with Mothra. And then Godzilla shows up and makes things a little complicated. He pops out of the ground.
He said, I'm a little angry, boys.
He goes and stomps through Nagoya. And a really fun scene. I think, you know, if the first 30 minutes of this movie were kind of slow, once Godzilla shows up, this movie's pretty rapid fire. We do take a bit of a breather in a little bit for the heroes of the movie. To go to Infant Island and kind of plead for Mothra's help. But we have Godzilla stomping through Nagoya. Then he gets into a fight with the JSDF. They send some tanks at him. Of course, nothing is working. Then, like I said, our heroes, they go to Infant Island. And a scene I really like. Gone is the black face of the last couple of movies. In with the red face, I guess.
Red face.
Some of the natives are red. Some of them aren't. I'm not really sure why. I thought the ones that were red were like that because they were drinking red juice. But then, you know, I thought all of them were drinking red juice, but they weren't all red. Maybe it was just some kind of war paint. I don't really know. But a really nicely staged scene where they go to Infant Island and they re-meet with the twin fairies and Sakai and Junko give passionate speeches about how, well, at first they're turned down. They're like, no, we're not going to send Mothra to help you because you didn't help us. But then Junko and Sakai give passionate speeches about how all mankind should help each other or whatever. And so the Shobujin, they go and they sing to Mothra. We do get a abbreviated version of the Mothra song in this movie without any musical background help, instrumental background. But it's kind of nice. And they sing to Mothra. But Mothra is a she in this version of the movie. She is older. You know, I'm not going to say they really write the first Mothra out of continuity, but it doesn't really fit in with this movie. But at the same time, it kind of does because, you know, when they figure out that it's Mothra's egg, no one acts like really shocked or surprised. I mean, I guess you could still close your eyes and pretend this is in the same universe as the first Mothra movie. So, anyway, Mothra agrees to help them.
Yes.
They go back. Godzilla is continuing to stop his way through Japan. But anyway, so Mothra shows up, and we have the first fight between Godzilla, the fight between the Godzilla and the adult Mothra, which in most movies is, you would think, would be like the big climactic fight or whatever.
Nope.
But that fight ends with about 24 minutes left in the movie, and it ends with Mothra being killed by Godzilla.
I don't know,
she kind of kills herself, like, sacrifices herself, because she uses her last power, her yellow poison powder, against Godzilla. And then her wings get burned up, and she flies, and she dies, and she puts her wing over the egg, and it's really touching. And then we get a long session of singing. by the fairies and the islanders, trying to...
Because apparently they can communicate together and they know when to sing.
They're, yeah. Well, the Shobujin are telepathic.
Can we communicate telepathic?
No.
Dang it. You were thinking about tacos. No.
Not quite. But
you were thinking about Godzilla.
Not far off, yeah. Not
specifically Mothra. No.
But anyway, so, right? And then we have some really fun scenes, I think, where Godzilla is marching across Japan, and they get the great idea of electrocuting him, so they set up these towers that shoot out electricity, and he gets through their first line, so then they drop nets on him that conduct electricity, and then shoot some more electricity at him. There's one scene where, like, a bomb goes off in front of him and his head catches on fire. Probably not on purpose. But then, you know, they actually get secretly Godzilla on the ground.
It was just back there behind the camera. He's like, $10 to whoever hits him in the head.
They actually get Godzilla on the ground. They might have beaten Godzilla, but they get a little overzealous. The commander orders them turn up the voltage, and then they burn up their own circuits or whatever. And then Godzilla gets a little pissy, and
rampages.
A little angry, and he melts the towers with his heat ray, melts the tanks, and some pretty cool shots of models melting, and gets back up and continues to rampage. And then he, for our true climax,
the egg hatches.
The egg hatches.
It's twins.
Godzilla goes to Iwa Island. There's this little tacked-on subplot with this teacher and her students trapped on the island to give our main human character something to do to go save these kids, while Godzilla and these two worms duke it out on the island.
Did I mention that it's twins?
They're twins. It was a big twist. Yeah, they'll recycle that plot twist about... Well, I guess they really only recycle it once. But yeah, so... Godzilla and these two little Mothra larvae, they battle it out on this island. After a pretty brutal beatdown, the larva finally tags in Godzilla.
Wrap him up
in their little cocoon webbing, and he kind of tumbles into the sea. Yeah. And they win.
Not to be seen again for about 8 months.
No. And by the way, the teacher and the kids were rescued safely.
Supposedly.
By our heroes. I think the teacher might have pushed them in the sea. They were more annoying ones, but, you know, never be able to prove it.
You can stay on there.
You can stay here.
But no, I like this plot. I think it's a good plot.
Worst field trip in history?
Best field trip in history, Dylan. What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I like this plot. The human characters, I mean, maybe not the best human characters ever, but I think...
They're entertaining.
Especially I'll say the side characters. The one, the reporter that... works there that has like this egg fetish. He's always eating an egg. And it's a running joke that's pretty funny. I love the bad guys in this movie. Kumiyama, he just is like your super typical, like, sleazy businessman. And Kenji Sahara, who I love as an actor, as Torahata, also a sleazy businessman. And then the Peanuts is the Shobujin, really good. So I really like the supporting cast. I like the story.
I think it's actually pretty entertaining. It's one of the more entertaining ones we've watched in a while.
Yeah. I like it. And then I like the way the story progresses. You know, it starts out as kind of just like a Mothra movie.
It is.
And then about 30 minutes, it all of a sudden switches gears and we're in a Godzilla movie. It
starts out as a Mothra movie. It's a Mothra movie.
It's a Mothra movie. And then 30 minutes in, Godzilla just like pops up and you're like, oh, it's a Godzilla movie. I forgot.
Like I said, boy, it lets you know now.
Yeah, and then Godzilla's theme plays about every 2 seconds after he shows up.
Dun, 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 dun.
I forgot to mention the plot point where Kumiyama figures out that Torahata's been ripping him off, so he goes to the hotel where Torahata is staying and, like, tries to rob him of his money, but Torahata shoots him, and then Torahata gets killed in their hotel anyway, because Godzilla destroys it.
It's whatever.
But I like these characters, and I like this plot. I think especially once Godzilla shows up, this movie moves really fast. It's pretty much action scene after action scene with Godzilla fighting the military. And then, of course, Godzilla fighting Mothra, and then Godzilla fighting the Mothra larva twins. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it really balances it well of being kind of, you know, still kind of like that dark kind of side to it with Godzilla, you know, being mean and menacing and the anti-corporate plot. Yeah, I mean,
it's
still got a
serious tone, but
it has fun, too.
It balances the other comedy really
fun,
well.
Fun characters, like with the egg joke and the some fun dialogue. I'll actually say that I think I like the English dub dialogue better. There's some great lines from the English dub, like, a good politician never lies, which is worded differently in the subbed version. There's a couple other lines too, but yeah, a lot of fun. So
I enjoy it.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Andrew, you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it.
Is it one of your favorite Godzilla films?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Probably not my favorite.
Not your favorite. All right. Well.
Well, what's your favorite?
What is your favorite? We'll find it as we're watching these.
Probably Godzilla versus Destroyer.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll get to that one. Would you say, Dylan, this is your favorite that we? Well, what's your favorite one of the four, or five we watched so far?
So far. I'd probably go this one. This is a little more entertaining than the first one. The first one is a better film.
Yeah.
This one's more entertaining than the first
one. The first one is more of a... It's better in terms of, like, the grand themes they're going for. And probably in a technical structure as well. But this one is just... This one's really bright and colorful and fun while also maintaining the menace of Godzilla. So, a lot of fun. But anyway. So, yeah. I like the story. Are we ready to move on to creature design? Everyone ready for creature design? Okay. Creature design. So we always start...
creature design.
We always start with the king of monsters, Godzilla.
Who's that?
This is a fan favorite. Godzilla suit, I believe. The Mosu Goji suit.
Is it pretty?
I really like it. I think the accident where Godzilla's, you know, teeth were kind of knocked loose and his... Kind of looks like his gums just aren't quite glued well to... Or his lip isn't quite glued well to his gums, his upper lip. I actually think it adds a little bit of, like, personality to the suit, I guess. And I actually like it quite a bit.
I think Godzilla looks good here. I think he looks... He reminds me more of the original Godzilla in this one. But just obviously, I feel like he looks taller in this film. I don't know if they designed the miniatures to be smaller, but he looks taller in this.
I think it's just the buildings they put him up next to in this movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But, and the suit is a little slimmer than last time, too. Yeah. That probably makes it look a little, like, makes him look a little taller. But, yeah.
I like him. I think he looks good.
The dorsal plates look really good. I love his arms. Like, he's constantly holding his arms up like this. Like, but, yeah, I think the suit looks really good. So, adult Mothra is the next monster. Actually, it's the first monster.
I call her Mothra Final Form.
Mothra Final Form.
Mothra Final Form.
I think Mothra looks really good in this movie. I think she... looks about as good as she did in her debut film.
It's literally
film.
The yeah. same thing.
It probably literally is the same thing. I mean, there's a few differences if you a look few. Close, but they probably just take the old one and just modify it a little bit. I don't know that, but the wing's still very colorful. It is a little bit...
she looks good.
It looks a little bit smaller, I don't know, than the original, like, parts of it, like a little slimmed down or something.
Maybe.
I don't know. I think she looks good. Her wings are really
good. And I think the flying, for the most part, I think the close-ups of her flying look really, really good. There's a one shot when she's first flying in to fight Godzilla, like it's kind of a long range shot that looks kind of rough. But yeah, I think Mothra looks really good, really bright and colorful. So and then of course the two larvae, when they I think they look really kind of really good when they first break out of the egg, and they kind of look, they have, you can see like all the red veins running through them and everything. Yeah. And then once they get out of the egg, like I don't know,
instantaneously like evolve into...
they look a little different. Yeah, like they,
it's like form two. No.
Puppets. Maybe on purpose, maybe not. Look a little rough, like they got like scratch marks in them and stuff. And at one point during the fight, like you can tell, like one of the puppets is like really kind of tearing apart on the sides. I don't know if that was maybe on purpose, maybe not. But it looks a little rough. You can obviously see the wheels under them in some shots. You know, so kind of oopsie there. But and they got these little beady eyes that are kind of creepy. But I think they look fine. I think all the monsters look pretty good in this movie.
Yeah, I think all the designs are really good. They did a good job.
Yeah. So overall, really good. So moving on to effects. I think the effects in this movie are about as good as they're going to get in a Godzilla movie. The models, I think all the models in this movie look really great. From that opening scene with the typhoon, to the giant egg incubator, to all the city destruction.
Yeah, these are definitely some of the best models I've seen. And then, you know, one of my biggest complaints with the models and the effects and sets in these movies are anything that has to do with, like, a toy, like, car or tank.
Yeah, yeah.
The tanks actually look really good in this movie. I think they're some of the best tanks that I've seen in these movies to date.
Yeah.
They actually look like real tanks.
They kind of look close to real tanks. You could almost buy them as real tanks. And there's a scene with construction vehicles, too, like when they're digging up dirt and stuff that looks really good. But yeah, I think all that stuff is good. And the matting is, I think, an improvement over what we've been seeing.
Yeah, there are... I guess you said there... at one point, they did... A couple points in the movie, they did try to use some like new effect where they tried to take an actual shot of...
Nagoya.
Of the actual, like, location.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like...
Superimpose Godzilla.
Superimpose Godzilla. in
it. It looks rough.
He grays out and you can't even see
him. Yeah, it kind of blurs him out or whatever. He's like out of focus. It's kind of weird.
You're like, who's that?
But most of the matting, you can still tell it's a matting job, but I think most of it's pretty good. I mean,
the matting for the twin fairies, I think, looks really good.
Looks really good,
them,
and
you know,
the blue
small.
The blue outline. There are times when there is a blue outline, but it's not near as obvious as.
And
it,
you
as
can
in
like
the
see
past.
Like the edges of them shaking a little,
kind
of
shaking a little bit. Yeah, but
other than that, I think it's pretty decent. I mean, they did a good job. It's a big improvement over some of the previous
best
movies.
Matting goes.
That we've seen. Yeah,
it is it's definitely the best matting that we've seen.
Probably the best matting we'll see for a while. And then the monster action itself. I mean, I can see the wires in a couple of shots. Like, I just noticed this the last time I watched it. Not this time, but the last time I watched it. This Godzilla's entrance was just one of the best entrances for Godzilla ever. If you look, you can see the white wires, like, kind of dangling loose right before they pull his tail out of the ground. And then you can see him pull tight as they pull the tail out of the ground. Now I can't unsee that. And then there's a couple other shots where I can see the wires. But for the most part, I think they do a good job of hiding the wires on Godzilla and Mothra.
Yeah.
And then the action, when Godzilla and Mothra are fighting, I think it looks really good for most of it. There's a couple of scenes where they use like these little like small puppets of Godzilla and Mothra battling that looks a little rough. But for the most part, I think it looks really good. All the pyrotechnics look really good in this movie. Up to Godzilla getting his head caught on fire, probably by accident. Mothra's wings smoking, I think that was a pretty cool effect.
Yeah.
Godzilla's
webs like that come out of the Mothra larvae look good.
Yeah. You call them silly string, but they don't look like silly string. They look pretty good.
Yeah.
And then when he's like actually wrapped up in the web, that looks pretty cool. Godzilla's heat ray looks pretty cool. Like his dorsal fins glow.
The dorsal fins glow and light up. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of like shots where like when they're showing like the heat ray hit rocks or hit the larva, where it's
like
just kind of
mist.
Like a white mist,
like, okay.
Which gets really bad in the next movie. But for the most part, it looks really good. I think some of the best effect scenes, like I kind of mentioned earlier, when Godzilla is like breaking free from the electric netting or whatever, and he's melting the towers and then melting the tanks.
Yeah,
which is obviously they took a torch and took it to the tanks and did like an extreme close up shot of it. That's a shot that they will reuse many times of the tanks melting, but it looks really good in this movie. So yeah, I think effects in this movie are they're top notch.
About as good as it's gonna get for these movies.
Yeah, so yeah, I really like the effects. I think Super Mario was at the top with his game. Obviously they had a bigger budget for this movie because they were on a hot streak with these monster movies. Budgets are going to start going downhill pretty quick. But yeah, really good. And then finally we talk about the score. Ifugube is great in this movie. From the opening title shot with the bum 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 bum, and then it goes into the dun 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 dun. But anyway, and then yeah, you hear Godzilla's theme about 400 times in this movie.
My God, if you didn't know Godzilla was on screen, you're gonna know.
You're gonna know it. Visually and audibly.
Every time.
But I love Godzilla's theme. I never get tired of it. And then I think, you know, it's kind of funny because he refused to score Mothra because he didn't think he could do that kind of a score based around the Peanuts singing, you know, all the time. But
there's a lot of singing this week.
There's quite a bit of singing. I think the track that he writes when they're like sitting in the flower garden or whatever on Infant Island, that's a beautiful piece of music that he writes for that scene. And then again, the piece of music he writes for them singing as they're waiting for it to hatch is a really good piece of music. So I think he does a really good job and gives the Peanuts some really
The score's great.
I mean, it's
ridiculous. It's ridiculously over the top most
of the time. It's really bombastic in this movie. In your face.
I do like, there's like this little theme that plays every time, like at the beginning of the movie when the twin fairies are like just like walking around.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't quite remember it right now, but
it's like, dun, dun, I can't hum it.
Dun, dun, dun.
No. And I can't have it.
It's like bum 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 bum.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
It almost sounds like a horror movie or something like that. But I kind of like it
because it's really faint in the background.
And
yeah,
you're like, ooh.
I like that. I like that they dropped the stupid buzzing sound that was their native language in the Mothra film or whatever.
And they actually speak.
So that was good. I'm glad that they got the Peanuts back to reprise their role, even though they look quite a bit different. They got totally different outfits on. They got a haircut.
It's whatever. It's been a while.
I think the Peanuts do a really good job in this movie. So
yeah.
And acting overall, I kind of just I said I like the characters, I kind of skipped over acting. I think Akira Takarada is really good. I think all the actors are really good.
Yeah, everyone's doing a good job. Everyone's putting in pretty
putting
good
in solid work here. So
no one's quite phoning it in.
This is I think this is the Showa era, like at its finest. Like everyone's clicking on all cylinders here, and you know they had a good 2-year break to kind of work on this movie, kind of put this movie together.
Yeah.
So yeah. Really, really good stuff. Really good stuff. So anyway. I guess it's in time for some final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Go ahead, Andrew. Start over there.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably one of the best Godzilla movies I've watched so far in this. And probably some of the best matting and the best models.
Yeah, definitely I've best seen. Models.
I think I'm going to give this an A.
An A. All right.
An A.
All right, yeah. Dylan, what did you think?
I agree. I think this is one of the more entertaining films that we've watched so far. It's probably the most entertaining film we've watched so far, and it's got some of the most entertaining and likable characters mm-hmm. of the four that we've watched, I guess. I don't know. I really enjoy it. I think that they did a good job crafting the story, and it like we've said, I mean, it's definitely a Mothra movie with Godzilla in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's still interesting, even though, you know, Godzilla doesn't show up until like that 30-minute mark in it, which is nice that the movie is still entertaining for... Yeah. Godzilla shows up, because usually that's been my complaint about some of the previous movies. You know, Godzilla's not in, there's no fighting.
There's no fighting.
Nothing's happening. But this one doesn't bother me. I don't know. It's entertaining them, and like you said too, they do a good job of balancing the, you know, dramatic story tones with the comedy, and I like that quite a bit. The effects are top notch here as far as 1960s Japanese films go, giant monster films go. I mean, the models look great. The matting and superimposing effects look pretty good for the most part, except for that one that we talked about. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything looks really good. I think that the creature design is really good. Godzilla's, like, this is probably one of the best, if not the best look that I've seen Godzilla so far. And the score is great. It's ridiculous. I mean, every 10 seconds, Godzilla's theme is playing. So, I mean, if you don't like that, then you obviously don't like
this
movie.
Maybe not. Shouldn't watch this movie, yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. I actually like this movie. I'm going to go out on a limb and give it an A+.
A happy moment.
I'm so happy. No, sound effect here. But, yeah, so I agree with pretty much everything you guys said. You know, you talked about... God, this is a Godzilla movie with, or a Mothra movie with Godzilla in it. You know, a lot of these Showa era movies, especially the next few that we're going to watch,
that other
aren't really Godzilla movies so much as they are monster movies with Godzilla in them. But, you know, I don't mind that. But, yeah, I love a lot, pretty much everything about this movie, the effects, the score. You know, I'm a huge fan of Mothra, and I think Mothra has done really well here. And the songs of the Twin Fairies sing, I think, are really great. Fukube did a great job with that. I think the monster action is a lot of fun. I love the pacing in this movie, especially once Godzilla shows up. It's just pretty much Godzilla scene after Godzilla scene of him just going through the military, fighting Mothra, fighting the larva. And then even the 30 minutes of setup at the beginning of the movie, I think, are pretty interesting and pretty entertaining of this egg washing ashore and all of this. So... I always have a lot of fun with this movie. I always really enjoy watching this movie. I think it is, like I said, I think it is everyone at Toho firing on all cylinders. This is like the perfect example. The effects department, the music department, the drama department, everyone putting together 110% of effort to get this movie together and make a really great Godzilla movie, a great science fiction movie all around, I think. So, yeah, I mean, and there are some minor problems, like I said. The ending with the teacher trying to keep the kids safe is kind of just tacked on. So, like I said, the human characters have a little bit to do. And I do think that sometimes the supporting characters are more memorable than the three main characters or whatever. But the flaws in this movie, because, you know, we are grading these movies on a bell curve. So, you know, in comparison to most of the other movies we're going to watch on this podcast, this movie is definitely an A+.
A happy moment.
Probably my favorite movie that we will watch for this podcast that I've seen so far, so.
Insert sound effect here.
Insert sound effect here.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud of me? I gave a movie an A+.
Two A pluses and an A. Andrew's lowballing it over here.
A+. Don't expect it again.
Probably not for a long while. Maybe.
Don't expect it ever again.
Not till we get out of the Godzilla movies anyway. So,
Gigan. Godzilla versus Gigan. Hands down. Best movie ever.
No, I'm going to be handing out a few A pluses. Definitely.
Death Kappa. A plus.
A, I may give that a movie an A plus for worst effort ever.
I'm going to give it a G minus.
Wait, a G minus? That's a new level of bad.
I'm just going to give it a Z.
Z. But we got a while before we get there, so we'll get there when we get there.
74 years from now.
But guys, there is some huge news.
He said huge news. Let's start off with the small news real quick before we go to the huge
news. What's the small news?
Small news. Today marks the 3rd anniversary of Shin Godzilla.
The recording date of this, yeah. 3rd anniversary of Shin Godzilla. 25th anniversary of The Mask.
That's not this podcast.
Not related? Okay.
Other podcast. We'll talk about that.
I hate The Mask.
No one gets
it. Anyway.
Anyway. Huge news, guys. Huge.
For the Criterion Collection's 1,000th collection, they're doing the original 15 Godzilla films, the Showa era, on Blu-ray.
All on Blu-ray.
Coming October 29th. Kind of a weird date right before Halloween, but October 29th. I done did pre-order it. If you go to their website, you can get it for $179.96. If you go to Amazon still has it listed for $225 or like $224.95.
So buy it from the Criterion Collection, please.
So right now, I'm sure eventually Amazon will get it marked down. When it's all said and done, Amazon will probably have the lowest price. But yeah, I pre-ordered mine from the Criterion Collection. I think most exciting takeaway is that they are going to have the original King Kong vs. Godzilla. I mean, the Japanese version of King Kong vs. Godzilla on Blu-ray.
Which we were looking for the other day, and it was really hard to find.
Yeah, speaking of King Kong vs. Godzilla, you know, I talked about that steelbook that one website, whose name I am blanking on, is coming out with. They did release, like, a photo art of it. It's just, like, the cover to the classic, the American version, you know, in steelbook format. I think it's probably only going to be the American version. But who even cares about that anymore when we got this coming? We got this coming out.
You have to be really dedicated to spend $180 on some.
I'm beyond dedicated.
I am not that dedicated.
But for me, and then they got like this, I think like 40-page little art book that comes with it, of like new illustrations.
40 pages.
Art from the mill that, you know, the films. Pages. Looks really neat. So it's 8 discs. I don't know if it's like, I don't know how they're doing that. Like 2 to a disc and then a bonus disc. Or like the original Godzilla gets its own disc and then like 2 to every other disc. Or I don't know how that's laid out. But
guess we'll find out in October.
Guess we'll find out October 20. Well, they probably won't arrive to my house October 29th. They'll probably ship November 1st. See, Amazon, when you pre-order stuff, like it arrives at your house the day it is released. Probably not that way with the Criterion Collection, but it's fine. It should be here in time for us to watch that version of Godzilla vs. Gigan. And watch it. At least I hope so.
Which you had just previously ordered.
I had ordered it. I ordered the, Mill Creek versions?
I think the Mill Creek version.
Whatever. Anyway, I got the Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster.
But it's like 2 or 3 months back order.
Yeah. I got the Godzilla vs. the Sea Monster. It came in immediately. But I was able to catch the Godzilla vs. Gigan when I cancel it. Because I'm like, probably won't ever get it anyway. And doesn't really matter because I'm going to get it in this collection. So. Or no, not Mill Creek, Kraken. Those are the Kraken Blu-rays. Mm. Different company. But anyway. Yeah, so that's our big news of the week.
Big news
of the week. I guess that's really all we had to talk.
If you're a dedicated Godzilla fan.
Goodbye.
I worship Godzilla.
Hey. Have you seen the collection of Godzilla figures?
Yeah.
I gotta go now.
I don't got that big of a collection. But anyway, next week.
He will then, after he gets these, he will own every single Godzilla film on Blu-ray.
Every single Godzilla film on Blu-ray. Yeah. Exciting times.
In their original Japanese versions, too.
Except for the anime trilogy, which is not available in any form of physical media in the States.
It's basically on Blu-ray when you watch it on Netflix.
Basically.
That's an achievement.
1080p or 4K or something like that.
Yeah.
It's one or the other.
1080p, I think.
Is it 1080p?
I don't think they had the 4K version of that on Netflix. But anyway, next week, what are we watching?
Next week, we're going to do Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster.
Nope.
Next week, we're going to do Rodan.
Yep. Rodan, a big fan favorite.
Ghidorah the
Three-Headed
Monster is the week after that.
Yeah, that's the next Godzilla movie we are doing. Rodan is a huge fan favorite, I know. So we're going to try to do it justice. I'm really excited. Dylan has not seen Rodan yet.
F.
So you'll be kicked on the podcast. So yeah. I'm really excited about that. Then yes.
I gave Mothra a C, so
yeah, that's
at
true.
Least give this one a D. Ghidorah,
you said it's better than Mothra, though. So
I enjoy it better than Mothra. I think it's a slightly better movie than Mothra.
C plus.
I think you gave Mothra a C plus, didn't you?
I think I gave it a C, I might have given a C plus.
I think you gave it
B minus, not
B minus. But no. So after that, yes, like you said, Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, will be our return to Godzilla. The reason we are watching Rodan is because Rodan makes his Godzilla debut in Ghidorah, the three-headed monster.
Yeah, he does.
After that, we are going back to theaters for Riff Trax Live, the giant spider invasion. Really exciting times. That's we need to figure out if we're going to be able to watch that on the Thursday before, which is my preferable date.
Try.
So we can have the episode out on Tuesday. If not, the episode may be a little late. But
no, that's not next Thursday.
It's a few weeks. It's like 3 weeks
down. 3 weeks from now.
I'll be in school.
But yeah, exciting. So
I will also be in school.
I will also be in school starting that week.
You start
week.
School the 20th.
Yeah, the 19th. So.
19th?
We go to school before you.
So I start school on the 12th.
I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. Ariana Grande.
Shut your mouth. Sorry, not sorry. No, that's Demi Lovato.
Oh, is that Demi Lovato? They all blend together, Dylan. Does it really matter? You shut your mouth.
All these Godzilla movies blend together. How does it make you feel? No.
You know, it's kind of true.
I'm kidding. I could give two craps about Demi Lovato or Ariana Grande.
Hey, they're not bad.
They're not bad. They're not good.
Could be worse.
Could be worse. You could be Cardi B. I mean, come on. Sorry, any Cardi B fans out there.
I'm talking about there are Cardi B fans. Right? Anybody who likes Cardi B, I can promise you is not listening to this.
You're probably not listening to this podcast. That's right.
Be that one Cardi B.
Anyway.
Unsubscribe.
Do we have any subscribers that aren't us?
One or two.
Anyway. So, yeah.
That one guy, the pigeon, that always likes our photos on Instagram. Shout out to that guy if you actually listen to our show.
Thanks for liking our photos on Instagram. You're our real hero.
You're the real MVP. You're like the only person that actually likes him.
Anyway, so for the moment, we are still doing another podcast.
For the moment.
Called DNA Film Wars. I'm thinking when I start school back, it may go on hiatus.
We will continue to do our Star Wars series, though.
Yeah, we'll come back once a month to do the Star Wars thing. But we are coming out with a review this week
maybe a couple other episodes.
Yeah, maybe big ones. But we are coming out with a review this week for Quentin Tarantino's new movie,
Hollywood. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Get it right. Anyway, so take a listen to us over there. You can find us at dnafilmwars@gmail.com and on any major pod hosting service. You can also find this podcast on any major pod hosting service. Andrew, what is our website?
You can find it at www.soundthisway.podbean.com.
Yep.
Barely understood a word he just said.
Yep.
That's whatever. Anyway, that if you want to follow us on social media for any one of our podcasts, for DNA Film Wars, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're at DNA Film Wars, all lowercase, no space, on all those platforms. Same platforms for this podcast. We are at Stomp This Way.
Yep.
If you want to contact us with any questions and or comments, you can contact us at stompthisway1954@gmail.com.
Yeah, don't send them to stompthisway@gmail.com.
Whoever has, that's fired.
I can't believe someone took that. I could not believe that was taken. Like, who the heck took that?
Who took Stomp This Way?
Yeah, they're fired. Anyway.
Anyway.
That's all we had for you this week. Don't forget to join us next week for
Rodan.
Or Radon, if you're watching the Japanese.
He's a fire dragon. He's a fire dragon.
Yeah, so anyway, as always, I'm Aaron.
I'm Angie.
And I'm Dylan, and we'll catch you in the next one.